Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
Along with Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Waiting on that miracle, Tom. it's so awesome that you're here. We're going to tackle an interesting topic today because it's about time that we talk about AI. Everybody knows what it is.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about that Spielberg movie.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Now, we're not talking about the Spielberg movie, but the idea that the Spielberg movie was based on, I guess. And so recently, Pope Leo addressed the participants in the second annual conference on artificial intelligence, ethics, and corporate governance. Sounds like a fun. It does. It actually sounds like a fun thing. It's interesting to me that the Vatican.
It'd be fun for you two, not me.
You wouldn't like want to go to like an AI thing at the Vatican? That'd be kind of cool.
No, that would be cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's kind of. I'm always amazed, and I shouldn't be amazed, but I am amazed at how many different events, organizations, types of people, charisms. Science, arts, even comedians, all these different things that they go to the Vatican and they have a big Vatican. They convene some big seminar or symposium or discussion board or whatever, and they bring in experts I think it's fascinating. I think a lot of people don't realize just how involved the church is in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the universal church because you don't really always hear about the Southern Baptists had an AI symposium. I mean, you don't. And I'm not knocking the Southern Baptists. They have lovely hair. You know, they make some good casseroles. So that's not a problem for me. But I am saying
you're gonna
that
get mail.
It's okay. I love everybody. I really do. You know, at the end of the day, though, think that the church is involved in the world because the church is in the world.
Which she should be.
And the light of the world.
Yeah.
And so those are things that I think are really important. But so he did this symposium, basically, or he was present at the second annual conference on artificial intelligence. And there's just a little short address, and we like to look at these things when they come out on the Vatican's website because I think it's interesting stuff. It's fodder for discussion. I mean, it's stuff we can look at and start talking about because I think that we need to, as human beings, look at AI. Mm-hmm. Right, we need to look at this. I'm sure that there was some Vatican
through the church's lenses.
I guarantee there was like a Vatican symposium on the printing press.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
what for good or for ill? What can you do with this thing? And he starts his address, and he's just basically recognizing the urgent need for serious reflection and ongoing discussion on the inherently ethical dimension of AI. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to me that y'all remember like the first address he gave as Pope Leo, he actually mentioned AI.
Yes.
And we talked a little bit about it. One of the reasons why he took the name Leo the 14th was because he saw AI as a significant time in humanity that was not unlike the first industrial revolution, after which Pope Leo the 13th kind of focused on workers' rights and dealing with corporations and nations and capitalism and all these different things, and Pope Leo has seen a need to not revert to the Industrial Revolution, but to look at the Scientific Revolution, to look at AI, and he actually called out and mentioned his concern about AI, and I thought that was very prescient, and it was nice that it was obvious that the church is aware of the times, and I love when that happens. So this was a good opportunity for him to address the people that were at this particular conference. And he mentions in his address, I'll just quote some things that are here, but, he's talking about the proper use of the technology, and he talks about generating a more authentically just and human global society. Mm-hmm. Now, notice, like, at the beginning of this address, he actually, it's like, that's what the church does, right? It's always the church's chief interest and concern is our humanity, the human person, and really the good of society. And here he says the authentically just and human global society,
mm-hmm.
right? So obviously he sees some little bit of a challenge to that, you know, potentially. I think all of us would have to be blind not to see some of that well. And he actually quotes Pope Francis, because again, Pope Francis was, he was at the G7 session on artificial intelligence in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And in his statement, he had said that AI is above all else a tool.
Yeah.
And I think Tom, do you use AI at all? Do you know
what? I actually don't.
Are you like one of those rub the sticks together kind of fire builders?
I am. I like that, man. I want to get my hands on it.
Okay. You want to? So you're not ready.
You're
to
looking
embrace.
At me like I'm a caveman. Which
no,
I'm,
no.
I'm good with that.
You've got a phone. I mean, a flip phone, but you've got a phone. No, you don't have a flip phone. You've got a nice phone.
Got a smartphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, Ziggy, you've had history with AI.
I have, yeah. So I have a tech firm. It's been consecrated to our Blessed Mother from the beginning. And, you know, there was a time where we spent a lot of time on what you could call AI. It was really more machine learning, like spreadsheet analytics, a new approach to identifying the relationships between the numbers in a particular spreadsheet, you know, and including in things like
we just lost five listeners. Be careful. You're starting to wander.
So we worked more on using computers to manage the mathematical relationships between numbers in certain applications, like and like biomedical applications and stuff like that.
Okay,
like this was a space, and we had a lot of different things that we explored. For a while, we've since shifted our focus. But yeah, I've used AI in different contexts, including for business purposes myself. Like, I was a little bit cautious because some of these AI, groups that are out there, they're really data harvesting engines, and so you have to be careful about what you tell them. You know, kind of similar to they're kind of similar to, you know, Google and these other sort of tech giants in terms of how they're taking and harvesting your data. So you shouldn't put anything into an AI system that you don't want, you know, that you want to keep private, for example. But yeah, I've used it and including things related to my business and thinking through, you know, business modeling and various other stuff like that. I would say that there was a good way of using AI and there are bad ways of using AI, right? So like as a tool, AI can help you. Once upon a time, I was a lawyer, okay? And this is related insofar as one of the things that you're taught as a lawyer is to issue spot, right? You have a certain situation, you have to spot what are the issues and how do you manage the relationships between those issues. AI can be a great tool for issue spotting. And to show how variables can be synthesized, how they mix together. But you really have to be on top of it. Like, if you're trying to run projections through a system, if you don't already have a command of those variables and which ones are relevant and which ones don't and how they should mix together and, you know, what is a complete picture of a situation and what's missing, if you don't already have that command, you're going to end up producing output that's not terribly helpful and will very strongly mislead you. And the fact of the matter is AI, like things like ChatGPT and the various AI that's available, you know, sort of for free at the consumer level, there's only so many variables that it can be managed, that it can manage, you know, properly at once. And it's pretty easy to have too many variables. And to where all of a sudden you have the problem of, as they say in the tech world, garbage in, garbage out. And so a big concern that I have with AI is people might become intellectually lazy. They're not coming at it already with a mastery of the subject and using it for issue spotting and using it to sort of test ideas and how they mix and match. And instead, they might be relying upon AI to generate ideas or to and that is dangerous, you know. That's what I would say.
We're gonna get to more of that. We're gonna circle back to specifically the laziness part, but I want to continue with what the Pope was saying, because he identifies some of those same concerns. I guess you know, there he says AI has been used in positive and noble, and indeed noble ways, is what he says. But he also says there is likewise the possibility of its misuse for selfish gain at the expense of others, or worse, to foment conflict and aggression. So mm-hmm. the ultimate use can be really for good or for evil. I mean, I can think of like the things I've used AI for, because I've got the free ChatGPT on my sure. phone, and using it for like research. Well, data mining is a fancy term, but basically looking out into the ether space and just finding. There's nothing faster. There really isn't anything faster than, unless it's a dedicated. Purpose computer, but really AI is great at going like, hey, what are the blah 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 of the blah blah blah, how many of the blah blah, you know, and it's like boom,
it's a search engine you can talk to.
That's right. Well, and that's just the interaction part of it, but really where it's going out there, it's just it's and then it's trying to interpret what it is you're wanting based on the yeah. things you give it, and so I see it good there, but also it does amazingly at language translation and communication,
sure.
like real time, where you can actually say something in English and then it's basically spitting it out in any of 100 languages. That's not always free, you know, but still it's very useful to interacting with the rest of the world. And so there's some good stuff there. I do want to focus, though, where the Pope goes next is he goes into again, the focus of the church, why the church is concerned here. And he talks about taking into account the well-being of the human person. And he says, safeguarding the inviolable dignity of each human person and respecting the cultural and spiritual riches and diversity of the world's peoples, those are like at the top of the list of what the Vatican sees as concerns and why we need to care about this and not go like, well, that's just, it's a fun, gamey tool. It makes funny pictures of, you know, whatever you can, whatever prompts you put into it. It's really not harming anybody. But I think Pope Leo recognizes, Sam, you also recognized that there were some potential ills here. And then the Pope comes back and says, ultimately, the benefits or risks of AI must be evaluated precisely according to this superior ethical criterion. And the superior ethical criterion, again, is dignity of the human person, the cultural diversity of the world, right? We don't want to erase everything or homogenize it to the point where it becomes this one, you know, world speaking in unison. That's mm-hmm. that's the otherworldly or the scientific fantasy horror, really, when you see that kind of thing taken over. Now, the Pope starts talking about the condition of the world next, and he says, sadly, as the late Pope Francis pointed out, our societies today are experiencing a certain loss, or at least an eclipse, of the sense of what is human. And this, in turn, challenges all of us to reflect more deeply on the true nature and uniqueness of our shared human dignity. Now, you know, Tom, when you were talking about using AI, mm-hmm. or rather, not using AI,
right.
and I joked about you rubbing two sticks together,
right.
whatever, you probably are... you understand and realize the importance of like eye-to-eye, face-to-face human contact,
yeah,
don't you?
Totally. I think people want that. In fact, I think AI is starting to drive people to that.
Yeah. Now, you say, I think people want that. I think inherently,
right.
as human beings, we crave that.
Yeah.
But I think human beings also in our fallen state don't always recognize we want that.
Right.
Therein lies the problem. That's why I think that Pope Leo is quoting Pope Francis as saying, you know, a loss or at least an eclipse of the sense of what is human.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may be as simple as sending out an AI-generated image as if it were real, or sending out an AI-generated quote of Pope Leo. I remember when he was elected Pope, within minutes, there were like these long quotes, Pope Leo the 14th, and I'm like, he hadn't had time to say that,
right?
And he didn't say that. And it wasn't even something from the old days. Mm-hmm. It was AI generated, mm-hmm. you know, based on input. And so then people were going to love this guy. See what he said? It's like, yeah, he didn't say that. Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of cautions out there. And again, that may be a little harmless, you know. And buyer beware when you see stuff on the internet. But at the very core, and I think what Pope Leo is getting at here, that Pope Francis kind of got at, is a lack of the sense of the primacy of man.
Well, I think if you look at the history of AI, we kind of set ourselves up for this for decades, because the history of AI, there's something that's called the Turing test. A guy who was responsible for modern computing, Turing, the Turing test basically is saying, like, if AI gets to a point where you can't tell that you've basically, let's say you're talking through a computer to a person and you're talking through a computer through an AI system, if we get to the point that you can't tell that you're actually talking to a computer or a human,
could be bad.
What he was saying is like that's the moment where AI has really arrived, right? And there are different kind of variations on the Turing test. I think when we think in those terms, and a lot of computer scientists have thought in those terms now because of him for decades, I think that we're sort of setting ourselves up to sort of fetishize AI and to say, like, we're trying to create a more perfect human. You know, we're trying to create a better version of, because now you can't even tell that it's a human, that it's not a human, but then it's able to process and think and do all this stuff way better than we can.
When do you cross the line? So the neural implants, I think that we've read that Elon Musk is doing, that really is helping people, like with Lou Gehrig's disease, to be able to communicate with their spouses, to be able to have a much more normal interaction with the world, and to reclaim some of their human dignity. That's wonderful. But at what point do we start to enhance, the human, and we create something that was not there before? In other words, giving people superpowers. I mean, the same person one of the first ones they did this neural implant in, all of a sudden his mind was making leaps and bounds and being able to process things that he wasn't able to do before.
Oh, wow.
It's really unique, and it's certainly worthy of study. But at what point do you monitor and make sure all that's happening? And this is where the Pope says acknowledging and respecting what is uniquely characteristic of the human person is essential to the discussion of any adequate ethical framework for the governance of AI. You've got to understand what it is to be human, right? Mm-hmm. And then what it is to be human, it's better to be human than to be an animal, right? And I say better, I mean it's on the list of when we were created by God, and that we were basically given the world as caretakers of the world, as stewards, and there is a primacy to the human being. And I'm not saying that the human beings, basically we conquer all the animals and we kill them all and we use them all up and we destroy the earth. We were given the earth and all of its contents as stewards to care for it, not to destroy it. But at the same time, there is a primacy there, and so we don't want to lose the sense of what it is to be human, especially as humans, right? And then he turns to the children. He turns the focus to the children. This is, I want to get back to the laziness comment you made earlier, Ziggy, because he talks about human children. He talks about children and said they are our hope for the future, and society's well-being depends upon their being given the ability to develop their God-given gifts and capabilities and to respond to the demands of the times and the needs of others with a free and generous spirit, right? And so it's like, if you don't, like, if they basically rely on AI to do everything, it's just basically going to dumb down the brain. I mean, there is a real risk. Think about people who text all the time and their English skills have gone out the door, right? Their grammar skills.
Right.
Think about all the calculating and stuff that you do with a calculator on the phone or whatever. And so you're not processing, you know, you're not testing your brain, you're not exercising your brain. And so I think we start to use less of our brain. AI can have that, I think, damaging effect. And I think the Pope is worried about children, like, but also beyond children, all of humanity. Think about, like, AI generative or generated art, which I go, like, that's a pretty sunset. You know, ChatGPT, make a nice sunset over, you know, the ocean, blah, 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 with a little ship there, and a nice little picture shows up. And you think, well, what's the harm in that? At the end of the day, when you start getting really, really creative with AI, who's the creator? And at what point in time do we lose sense of AI based on all these things, like where it's getting its data, what input it's drawing from, because whoever manages that starts to manage possibilities and things like that, and so nefarious users can do things here, and so this is why I think the Pope stresses this last little bit I want to read. He says, access to data, however extensive, must not be confused with intelligence, which necessarily involves the person's openness to the ultimate questions of life and reflects an orientation toward the true and the good. And if we don't do that, right, this is all about humanity and our meaning and purpose on this earth. AI does not have that. AI doesn't have a desire to please God. AI does not have any desire to be human. It replicates and assimilates and manages data, and you know, it can be for good, but also it can be for ill, and you know,
it's the tool.
That's exactly right. And we all saw Terminator 2 Judgment Day, and I still remember that phrase they used all the time. This is like what, 1999 or something like that?
No, yeah, and I think it was 92.
Wherever it was, it was in the 90s, and I remember they talked about like when computers became self-aware.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I don't know what that means, but clearly they were hinting at it became alive.
Right.
Right, it was self-aware, it knows what it is. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's naturally why people prompt ChatGPT and all these other AI platforms and say like, are you alive? And you know, but again, they're responding based on the inputs that you put in there, the prompts, and the data set that's been poured into it, right? And so this is why I don't know that that's ever going to be a problem, but I do think, and I don't know that Terminator 2, I don't know that that's necessarily Judgment Day is gonna be because computers became self-aware. I don't know that. But there is a prophetical thing going on with these science fiction movies. Think about Star Trek. I grew up with Star Trek, and those 3 years back in the late 60s and early 70s when Star Trek was on television, Captain James T. Kirk, and do you remember they had those little communicators that they would flip out and go, sound like a dolphin or whatever, and they'd flip it open. You know, that's before anything else like that.
They designed a flip phone after that.
Flip phones became common usage, right? So it's like it was a precursor to that technology.
Right.
And I worry that sometimes these things become self-fulfilling prophecies, and we all should worry. Right.
Well, and talking about movies that people might be familiar with, you have stuff like The Matrix, and a lot of times people will jump to thinking about, you know, oh, it's you have a system that's self-aware and has created a fake universe, a simulated universe that we're all enslaved to. I think actually there's some other more subtle aspects of The Matrix that we can point to. Like one, you might remember that scene where he uploads to his brain Kung Fu, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I know Kung Fu. And I think that, like, you know, like I was in high school in the late 90s, right? And so, back then we all had this sort of this notion, this fantasy of like that one day technology is going to take us there. We can just like plug in. And
then I don't have to study.
And then I don't have to study.
I don't have to read.
Right.
I don't have to experience.
And so for anybody, this is exactly what I'm saying. Anyone who actually knows, who's studied martial arts even for a little bit, if all you're doing is memorizing some movements, but you're not actually making connections as to like what those movements, how they should be used within the context of actually defending yourself, you're gonna get you're gonna get whooped.
Well, we're not gonna nerd out on martial arts.
No.
We just lost five more. No, I'm hearing you. No, that's actually valid, and it's not just in that field of like martial arts. It's in art. It's in
everything.
Everything. It's in everything, and so there's no more human endeavor, human creativity. All of it gets dumbed down, and we just basically, and then we're limited because the data set doesn't increase, right, in AI. And so that can be problematic, and that's why I think the Pope talking about the, I like the fact that we call it AI, it's artificial intelligence. Artificial, I don't like artificial butter, I don't like artificial ice cream. I like the real thing, and so I like intelligence. And so I want to be cautious about artificial intelligence because it's not as good as true and genuine human intelligence Can it be a benefit? You know, yes. And that's what we need to focus on. I know some people have compared AI to like a tool. And of course, Pope Francis said that, and that's true. And a lot of people say, like, well, it's like a gun, you know, it's how you use it. Well, I think that's a bad comparison because guns were made with a destructive kind of intention. Think of it like a camera, right? That AI is like a camera. A camera is a tool that you can use for good or for ill. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the pornography in the world is horrible, mm-hmm. and it's a camera, right? A camera does that. So the camera's not bad. It's not inherently bad. It's how you use that particular thing, because there's also beautiful photography and great communication and family memories and all these things that are positive and good that come out of a camera. So that's, man, that's kind of like where we're going to have to leave this conversation. But it really, this is maybe the first of, who knows, several episodes at some point in time. We'll revisit AI because it keeps in leaps and bounds growing and becoming more and more influential in the world, mm-hmm. Which makes us go like, and this is why they had that second meeting there on AI at the Vatican, and this is why we are going to have many, many more discussions about this. And if we don't, you know, bad things are going to happen if we lose control of all this technology, and then the science fiction starts to become true It's the element of our demise, and we don't want that to be the case, because God loves us. He gave us all these tools. He gave us the earth to subdue and to be a caretaker for, and that's what we need to focus on. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.